welcome to our second review class of this week. Our second review class is about native talk classes, so we're going to look back at some of Jen's sentences and take a closer look at some structures and expressions that she uses. Okay, so you guys already know how this works, so let's get started. The first sentence is right there. Note how you broke down responsibilities into bite-sized chunks in order to get the project across the finish line. So one more time. Note how you broke down responsibilities into bite-sized chunks in order to get the project across the finish line. So in this class, she's talking about projects. And we have the verb note here. And note simply means comment on. So she's saying, when you are talking about your project, comment how you broke down responsibilities. So note is just similar to comment. And then we have the expression break down. So in this context, breakdown means when you have a lot to talk about or you have a lot to do, you break your responsibility into parts. So break down. So you can say break down into smaller parts. And in this case, she says break down into bite-sized chunks. But still, remarking on that breakdown, it's very useful when you are making a presentation and you have a lot to talk about, or it looks kind of scary, the subject looks scary. And then to make it easier, you can break it down into smaller parts. So breakdown is very useful in this kind of environment. So everything that you need to explain or talk about and it's not so easy, you break it down into smaller parts to make it easier to understand, right? So very common during presentations and explanations in general. And then we have bite size. This expression is usually used for food that is small enough to eat in one bite. That's what bite size means. But I just want to talk to you guys about these compound nouns. So some other really common ones I brought you guys here are follow up. You guys already know when you need to talk about some things that have been happening, follow up, high tech, close up, long term. In long term, we have short term, which is also compound. One-sided, so something that is not mutual, just one-sided. Eye-opening, something revealing. 50-50, half and half. And get-together is an interesting one. It just means a meeting, usually not related to work. So it's just fun meeting with friends or with colleagues, okay? And then we have the across. So this word simply means to the other side, something that is on the other side. So if you are in one place and the place you want to go is on the other side of the street, you say the restaurant is across the street, for example. It just means the restaurant is across the street, just means that it's on the other side. So across simply has that sense of on the other side, okay? So let's move on to our next sentence. Let's take a look. First and foremost, each party must clearly define its own goals and objectives. So first and foremost is an interesting way of starting things in general. So if you're starting a meeting, if you're starting a presentation, if you called someone and you have a lot of things to say, you can, before you say the first point, you say first and foremost. It's very common in day-to-day, even out of work, just a way to mention your first point. And thinking about this, it's good to remember that when you are giving a presentation or when you are talking about something with someone that has a lot of parts, you can use secondly, thirdly, and to finish, we already talked about this in our last, you can say finally when you are reaching the last points of your presentation or the end of your explanation. Finally or lastly. Okay, so before you mention your last point of the presentation, you say, lastly, this part is the easiest and then, okay? Really simple. So thinking of that, the other sentence from this class is exactly when Jen says that. Secondly, each party must anticipate the goals of the opposition. Secondly, each party must anticipate the goals of the opposition. So here, party simply means group, okay? So when you arrive at a restaurant or you have separated groups at work for projects or for whatever, we usually call them parties, okay? So most commonly at work or when it comes to reservations, okay? So restaurants and hotels, instead of saying group, we usually say party, okay? And in this sentence as well, we have must, which you probably know already. Must is a model that expresses a strong obligation, okay? So when she says each party must anticipate the goals of the opposition, this is from the negotiation class. So it's your obligation to anticipate the other person's goals when you are negotiating. That's why she uses must. Okay, so when you want to express that that is a strong necessity, a strong obligation, we use must. You must know your audience. You must know your audience. So before you prepare a presentation or things like that. So we use must to express that it's a strong obligation. It also is very common when you are making assumptions. So if somebody tells you about a project that they did in the past, you can, and the person talks on and on about the project, you can say, it must have been incredible. It must have been incredible. So you are making an assumption that you are pretty sure, you are almost certain that is true. Then we can use must, okay? So you are almost certain that that project was fun and was incredible. You can say it must have been incredible or that must have been incredible. And just a small thing here, goals. Goals are usually your final wish, like the destination of your project or of your goal. And objective, you have to complete a lot of objectives to reach your goal. So the goal is the last part of that process, okay? And the objective, objectives are the smaller parts that come first. Okay, so let's move on to our next sentence. Here's our next sentence. However, more often than not, we need to be careful about how we share our thoughts. So, however, means a few things, but in this case, we are using it as despite that. It's kind of in a contrast to what you said before. So, apesar disso, okay? However, more often than not, so despite that is a similar way of saying it. And in other situations, we use however, similar to whatever. So, however you prefer. You can do that however you prefer. Da forma que você preferir. Remember that how is usually related to way of doing something or manner of doing something. And then we have more often than not. This is simply it is colloquial. It's a very common way of saying often, very often. Something that happens with a lot of frequency. Something that commonly happens. So basically, you can say normally or usually, and the meaning is the same. So more often than not, it's a little more sophisticated, you can say. Like in the sentence, more often than not, we need to be careful. Just means usually, most of the time, we need to be careful, okay? But it's a good little group of words to have, so it sounds good when you use it, and it's good to have it at the tip of your tongue, okay? And then we have the second sentence from this class, which has another interesting group of words, which is so as not to offend the other person's feelings. So as not to. What does that mean? So as not to. So as not to is another way of saying in order to. So when you were giving a reason for something that happened, okay? So as not to offend the other person's feelings. So you take care with certain things with the objective of not hurting people's feelings, okay? So as not to offend other people's feelings. You can say, she delivered the contract early as to not make the situation worse. Okay, so as to not, and then already put the verb there, okay? It's really simple. And let's go to our next sentence. What qualifies as constructive and is therefore worth paying attention to? So here, Jen is talking about criticisms. So she says, what qualifies as constructive and is therefore worth paying attention to. This is an interesting structure, which is a question without auxiliary. So what qualifies as constructive? This happens with the words what and who. So when the subject of the question is that what and who, we don't need the auxiliary, and we consider it as a third person. So let's see some examples. What part matters most? So the subject here is what part, and we don't need the auxiliary. See, it's like an affirmative sentence, but it is said with the question word in the beginning, so we know that it's a question. What part matters most? We don't need does here because our subject is what. If we had another subject, for example, what part do you consider? We have you, so it has another subject different from what or who, so we don't use the structure. So what part do you consider most important? You can just say what part matters most if you're not using the subject you or any other subject, okay? Or for example, what makes you feel motivated? The subject here is what, okay? So I can make this sentence with no auxiliary. What makes you feel motivated? What makes you feel motivated? What makes you feel motivated? And with who, you can ask who initiated the process, for example. Who initiated the process? See, because we don't have the auxiliary here, we have to adapt the verb to that form. So who initiated the process? A sentence is in the past. My question is in the past, but I don't have the auxiliary, so the verb is in the past. Who initiated the process? Who began the project? Who is lost? Who missed it? Anything like that. If the subject is who, then we don't need an auxiliary in the question. And this example sentence, what qualifies as constructive and is therefore worth paying attention to, we have the question ending in to. This happens because, remember that in English, the prepositions are usually more related to the verb than to their actual meaning. So in this case, pay attention to, that's the action. I need that to. So because I need that to, if I make a question, that to is going to continue next to the action. So I finish the question with a preposition. That's why that happens. So, for example, if you want to ask someone, what podcast are you listening to? What podcast are you listening to? To is related to the verb listen, so it's next to listen, and that's why the question ends with a preposition. It's not a complex rule or anything like that. It's just you leave the preposition next to the verb, even in questions, okay? That's why the question ends with a to. So let's see another example. You can say, who are you working with? Here, the with is related to working. That's why it has to be next to working. And the question ends with a preposition once more, okay? Let's move on to our next sentence. So here's our next sentence. Introduce others. Always introduce people to others when the opportunity arises. Introduce others. Always introduce people to others when the opportunity arises. So you guys have probably noticed that most of Jen's classes are in imperative form. This sentence is not different. It starts with introduce others. She is giving an order and instruction. So it starts with the verb in base form, okay? So in this class, Jen talks about important rules inside a work environment, just etiquette in general. And she speaks about the importance of introducing people so the person doesn't feel left out or unimportant. So when you are introducing someone that is near you, physically near you, you say, this is Roy Hewitt. He is my former manager, for example, from your previous job. This is Roy Hewitt. He is my former manager. So you say the person's name. This is this is the person's name, and then you describe that person's position or why you brought that person there. This is Roy Hewitt, he is my former manager. Or you can say, this is Roy Hewitt, he is our chemical analyst, for example. Or you can say, he works here as a chemical analyst. Or an alternative, to make it simpler, when the person works in your company, is just saying, he is our chemical analyst. So because he works in the same company, we can use our chemical analyst. Or if it's just somebody that is related to you in a position in your work, you can say, he is my chemical analyst. For example, if you work in a team and there's only one chemical analyst, you can say, he is my chemical analyst. Okay, so we only use my or our when the person is in the same team or in the same company. Okay, if not, you can just say, this is Roy Hewitt. It's Roy. I wrote Roy. This is Roy Hewitt. He is a chemical analyst, or he works as a chemical analyst. You are indicating that it might or might not be in your own company, okay? So if it's in your company, you have two options. If it's out of your company, you never use the possessives, okay? And another way of introducing, maybe it's a different situation. For example, you have a special lecture that day and somebody came to speak at that lecture. You can say, this is Ana Fuentes. She is the economist that will speak at our lecture today. So everybody knows that there's going to be one economist. So you can say, she is the economist that will speak at our lecture today. This is Ana Fuentes. She is the economist that will speak at our lecture today. So you are introducing her on a special occasion, so the sentence changes a little bit, okay? But keep that rule in mind. And all rules that Jen talks about in this class are super important, but I just want to mention this one very quickly. Always say please and thank you. This is a basic form of courtesy, especially when dealing with English native speaking countries. So you guys already know that when you are making a request, we have those models that we usually use: can, could, would, and you add please to the sentence. So it's not, you don't just use the correct model for the situation, you also add please, okay? Never forget that. And just another way of saying thank you would be appreciate. So I appreciate your help. And pay attention to the pronunciation of appreciate. Appreciate, we have again that CH, that SH sound, okay? Appreciate. I appreciate your help. We appreciate your help. Or another one with we, you can say, we appreciate your opinion. So the good thing about appreciate is that you demonstrate gratitude, but you also demonstrate that that was important and valuable to you, because appreciate has that meaning of something valuable. So we appreciate your opinion. We are thankful and we find it valuable at the same time, okay? It's a good verb to keep in your vocabulary as much as you can. But of course, you can just say, thank you for your help. Thank you for having me. This is an interesting sentence because when you visit a place and people welcome you in a good way, you can say, thank you for having me. Thank you for receiving me. It's kind of that sense, okay? So thank you for having me. Thank you for accepting my visit and treating me well. That's kind of what that means. Or you can say, I appreciate you having me here for today's event, for example, okay? So that's our last sentence from Native Talks from our last units. If you have any questions, leave them here in the platform and take care. We'll see you in our next and last review class, which will be about writing classes, okay? Bye, see you next time.